Let's turn the lens inward, not to judge, not to confess, but to observe. Unconscious bias isn't just something you carry toward others. It's something you carry into the mirror, something that shapes your sense of self, what you show, what you hide, what you believe you're allowed to become. We're not just biased toward others, we're biased towards ourselves, and we learned it early. Before we choose who we are, we're told who we should be. The quiet one, the loud one, the good girl, the tough boy, the one who helps, the one who leads. And somewhere along the way, those roles stop feeling like costumes and start feeling like skin. If you've ever been the only one of your kind in a room, only woman, only immigrant, only queer person, only working class kid, you know this, you edit. Not because you're weak, but because you've learned what gets rewarded, what gets ignored, what gets punished. And every edit takes a little piece with it. Sometimes identity isn't expressed, it's performed. You learn the cues, the acceptable tone, the safe topics, the jokes that land and the truths that don't. And after enough performances, you start to forget what your real voice sounded like before you changed it to match the room. Even when you're alone, you're not really alone. You carry the audience in your head, the imagined critic, the disappointed elder, the teacher who said you'd never make it, and you speak to them without meaning to. You shape your ambition around their silence. You shape your softness around their scorn. That's not imagination. That's imprint. At first, the mask protects. It helps you fit in, helps you pass, helps you move through rooms you were never meant to enter. But wear it long enough, and the lines start to blur. You forgot where it ends, and you begin. You're not pretending anymore. You've just adapted to survive. Bias doesn't only reject people, it also shapes them. It pulls them into shapes that feel more acceptable, more palatable, more familiar to the dominant frame. So when you wonder why someone doesn't speak up, ask, have they ever been listened to? Have they paid a price for being visible? Some silences aren't apathy, they're strategy. Ever been told, you're not like the others? It sounds like a compliment, but it's not. It's a warning. It means you've been allowed in because you've made yourself less threatening, less other, less whole. And now you're being asked to stay that way in exchange for acceptance. That's not inclusion. That's assimilation. When you know the stereotype, you either run from it or get trapped inside it. The angry black woman. The model minority, the sensitive gay guy, the emotional Latina, the stoic Asian man, the untrustworthy immigrant. You start to shape your behavior not around your truth, but around their expectation. You dim, you bend, you shrink, just to stay undisturbed. We act like self-doubt is internal, like it lives in the soul. But often, it starts outside. Years of being talked over, overlooked, underestimated, questioned for no reason other than your appearance, your voice, your name. Eventually, the question moves inward. Maybe it's just me. It's not. But that's what bias does. It isolates until you blame yourself for the shape of the room. Some people learn early that safety comes not from being yourself, but from being palatable. They overachieve, they overprepare. They speak the dominant language, both literally and culturally. They wear the right clothes. They dress their truth in compliance. And still, they never fully arrive. Because respectability is a moving goalpost, one you chase until you're exhausted and still not enough. For some people, walking into a room is simple. They just are. They don't have to think about how they'll be perceived. They don't scan for danger. They they don't prepare a backup personality in case the real one makes others uncomfortable. That's privilege. Not just freedom, but the freedom to be unaware of yourself. Representation is important, but when there are only a few of you in a space, you don't just carry yourself, you carry everyone. You feel the pressure to be exceptional, to not mess up, to prove the worth of your whole group through your single performance. That's not inclusion. That's emotional labor, unpaid, unspoken, unrelenting. A woman walks into an interview. She's qualified, poised, experienced, but she's wearing a hijab. The interviewer smiles, but something shifts. They ask about team fit. They talk about client expectations. They say, "We're just not sure it's the right match." No one says anything overt, nothing you could point to, but she feels it, and so do they. That's how bias speaks without ever raising its voice. So let's pause here. Think about who you were told to be, who you learned to become, what you've hidden to stay safe, what you've downplayed to be liked. This isn't about guilt. It's about recognition. What part of your identity is freely yours, and what part was shaped to fit someone else's comfort? Bias simplifies people. It makes them one thing, one trait, one label, one box. But you were never one story. You are a collection of contradictions, soft and sharp, quiet and fierce, logical and emotional. The more bias flattens you, the more courage it takes to stay whole. Watch how the world treats complexity. Some people are allowed to be layered, troubled geniuses, flawed heroes, complicated artists. Others, they're reduced to a headline, a type, a lesson. Bias decides who gets nuance and who gets a narrative. Living under bias means you're always performing, even when you don't know it. You rehearse before you speak. You double-check your tone. You scan the room for signals. Will this land? Will this offend? Will this confirm what they already think? It's not just tiring, it's taxing, and it's not evenly distributed. Some people spend all their energy just to stay in the room. There comes a point where the mask stops working. You can't smile your way through it. You can't shrink small enough. You can't keep holding your breath just to make others comfortable. That's when the cracks show, not because you're weak, but because the act has been running too long. And sometimes, freedom begins with letting the mask fall. We talk about bringing your whole self to work. But for some, that's not a perk, it's a risk. Being visible can mean being targeted. Being vulnerable can mean being dismissed. Being authentic can mean being replaced. So when someone stays quiet, or guarded, or hesitant, that might not be fear, that might be strategy, a quiet kind of resistance. Sometimes the hardest voice to unlearn is your own, the one that says, "You're not leadership material," or "You're too much," or "You're not enough." They were right about you. That voice didn't start with you, it was given to you. By systems, by stories, by silence. But it lives inside now, and is just as powerful as anything external. This work isn't about deleting the mask. It's about holding it in your hands, looking at it honestly, and asking, what did this protect me from? What did it cost me? What am I ready to set down? Healing doesn't mean pretending it never happened. It means walking forward, more aware, more whole. The mirror can be cruel. especially when shaped by years of distortion. That's why community matters, real community. The kind that reflects back your full self, not just what's easy to celebrate. When others see you whole, you start to remember. You were never broken. You were just bending to survive. He used to shorten his name to make it easier for teachers, for job applications, for small talk. But one day, he started saying it fully, all the syllables, all the history. People stumbled at first. Some still do. But now, when he hears it spoken back to him, correctly, respectfully, it feels like a door opening, like being seen by his own name. That's not vanity, that's reclamation. Sometimes bias doesn't show up as harm. It shows up as hesitation. You don't apply, you don't speak up, you don't imagine yourself in that role. Not because you can't, but because you've never seen anyone like you there. Bias doesn't always slam the door. Sometimes it just makes you stop knocking. If a child never sees someone like them celebrated, they start to question their own worth. If a teenager only sees one kind of success story, they stop writing their own. If an adult is always the exception, they begin to doubt there's a place for them at all. Bias isn't just exclusion, it's erosion. So much of this journey isn't about becoming something new. It's about returning to the voice you muted, to the softness you buried, to the truth that was too loud for the room. This isn't self-help, it's self-recovery. She'd been doing the work for years, quietly, diligently, keeping the team together, carrying the emotional load. But when the leadership role opened up, they said she didn't stand out. She did stand out. They just weren't looking for her kind of leadership. They were looking for a mirror. Bias doesn't always block you. Sometimes it just looks past you. If your worth is always measured by how well you fit, how well you're liked, how quiet you stay, then that worth is conditional. And conditional worth is unstable. It shakes every time the room changes. Every time the gaze turns cold. Real self-worth comes not from performing acceptability, but from knowing you were never the problem. So here we are, looking at ourselves again, not with blame, not with shame, but with deeper seeing. You've worn the mask, you've bent for the frame, you've shaped yourself to survive. Now the question becomes, what do you reclaim when you remember who you were before the world told you who to be?